But we're preaching about Adam and how Adam fell asleep, and when he was, well, he didn't fall asleep, God put him to sleep. God put him to sleep, and while he was sleeping, the Bible says that Eve came forth out of this, out of his rib, and God formed, actually he made Eve, he formed man, which are two different words, and you look it up for yourself. This is goofy, but the Bible says nowhere that he woke up. Nowhere does it say we assume that he woke up. We can only assume that he woke up. And I assume that he woke up. But spiritually, in our dimension where we're coming from, we could actually see now where Adam never woke up. And so the purpose of Christ was to come and wake up Adam. And that if we're going to be about the purposes of the kingdom, it's supposed to be about waking people up. We've been trying to preach them things and teach them things, or you got to get them woke up first so they can hear you. And so in that dimension, we realize that Adam, in a sleep state, then this whole dimension we live in is a dream world, because what you see is temporal, what you don't see is eternal. The things which are seen are subject to change. It's a dream state. And in a dream state, you never, you know what I mean? When you're in a dream state, the bad guy's always chasing you. But he don't ever get you. And while Adam was sleeping, this whole world got spun out. But the Bible says he never woke up, because Jesus has come to wake up Adam. And he comes to wake us up. And when we wake up, then you got to get up, or you're not really up. And just waking up in your bed, lying awake with your eyes open, don't mean you're awake. That means you're part one. You're awake, part one. But until you wake up and get dressed and begin to walk out after you've been woken up, then you're not really woke up. And a lot of people run around talking about this message. They got woke up, they're still laying in bed, but they ain't got up and they ain't walked out anything that they've ever said. You understand what I'm saying? You can, and in America we got these great, and the prophetic ministry was a voice of trumpets, which is a voice of alarm. Sound the alarm, am I holy? Which all the prophetic ministry was to do was to get you to wake up so that you could get up and get dressed and walk out of your prison. That was tape number two. These tapes are back there. We better get some new ones, but these are tapes. And I tell you, I'm believing God. We're going to pray tonight about some things, but one thing I'm believing is to get on the radio. And I've been praying about it since we've been here. I believe it's time to get on the radio and be a fresh voice to this city. And not, I listened to the radio for the last 2 weeks trying to find anybody that was saying anything. Listen to me. I'm not being prideful. I'm just saying it's time for a fresh voice, because there's people that already been there, done that. They're ready to hear a new thing. They're ready to hear a fresh voice to minister life to where they're at, but to people, so they could have ears to hear, because the message is for those that have ears to hear. So that's my goal, and Lord, help us do that. I mean, I just want to minister to people. I don't want to minister to your intellect. I don't want an intellectual church. I want a church full of power, spirit and power. Jesus went about doing good. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. All. So that's what I want to be about. Somehow, God's taking this anointing so we won't get kicking into intellectual mode, into that damnic realm. You understand what I'm saying? Just because you can, what we need is not another echo. When you're in a cave, when someone says something, it echoes all throughout, and everyone hears the echo. We don't need an echo. The body of Christ don't need another echo. In other words, I read an article, and I get up here and preach it to you. The body of Christ needs a voice. Because Jesus stood outside that tomb of Lazarus, and he heard his voice. And it's his voice is what pulls people out of their caves. It's the only thing that causes people to get out of their cave is a voice, not an echo. Paul said there'd be many voices in this world and none of them without signification. But you got to hear the voice that's for you. You got to hear his voice. So it's my desire to be a voice. And so that you will be a voice, that we would all be one voice, not an echo. And I tell pastors all the time, hey man, none of this stuff's copyrighted. Preach it all you want. It all belongs to Jesus. Put your, you can get up and tell him the Lord showed you. I don't care, because it's his message, his voice, his purpose, his destiny. You understand what I'm saying? It's through this voice. So it does belong to you. It's not copyrighted. It's for the whole body. So I want us to be a fresh voice to the city. And I'm excited about it. I listen to the radio pretty much. I never listened to it before, but I've been flipping through all the channels, and it's been exciting because everyone's getting closer and closer and closer. They're getting closer, guys. Listen, I'm telling you, I mean, they're getting closer. Like, I'll be studying, I'll take a break, and I'll just turn on the radio and just hear what this one got to say. And there's a couple of them that I have my doubts about, but anyway. But he's there for a purpose. To drive those who have ears to hear to find somebody that has a voice. If you have an ear, you'll find a voice. If you have an ear to hear, you'll find the voice somewhere. You'll find the voice, because John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying out in a wilderness. And in the wilderness, as he proclaimed the voice, the people came even into the wilderness to hear him. So that tells me location is not nearly as important as having the voice. So Adam fell asleep. And in his sleep state, he had a son named Cain. And Cain was the tiller of the ground, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep. And I was going to skip over this, and the Lord told me tonight, I got to continue this thought. Because he's reshaping our body. You understand? I don't know what everybody else's body's doing, but I know what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know everything we're supposed to be doing, but I know what we're supposed to look like. I know how we're supposed to act. I know he's reshaping us, reforming us. And the Bible says that Cain brought an offering and Abel brought an offering, and Cain rose up and slew his brother. Amen? And we shared last week, it was such a revelation to me, but we shared last week that the first family in the birth order of Adam, only thing Adam can reproduce is Cain's, which is workers that try to work and find their own way, which is the curse of the law. He said, you shall work with your hands and never eat the fruit of it. You'll work, 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 and never get anywhere. Adam, you are cursed with a curse. So Cain rose up and slew his brother. Now, I can't go very long because Reese told me I couldn't, and now Lance told me I couldn't, so I'm not going to go very long. Jesus. He said, don't just pump it till the water quits coming out and then stop. But Cain slew his brother, and there was a revelation to me. I know y'all don't know, but I don't have many notes. But it came out to me that the very first problem in the first family, in the first Adamic order, the very essence of Adam, is that he reproduces people that are in religious, the first killing and the first fight and the first war was over religion. Religious prejudice, that's it. Thank you, Lord. I'm like, religious prejudice is what Adam birthed. Religious prejudice. It had nothing to do with race. It had nothing to do with what part of the city you lived in. They were in the same family. Was religious prejudice was birthed out of a sleeping Adam. And the problem in America is not racism. That's a smokescreen. The problem is a religious prejudice. If we would tear down all the religious voices, the healing would become. The thing that separates and divides is religion. Religious preference creates a precedence. And Cain said, God didn't accept my offering, so I'm going to kill the one that he did. Come on now, I'm going to kill the one that he did. God did that on purpose to show that only Adam could reproduce religious prejudice. And we put every kind of label, every kind of smokescreen, every kind of person trying to put Band-Aids on Band-Aid and Band-Aid. And the problem is, let me tell you, there would be no drunkenness in America if the churches didn't preach against it. There would be no homosexuals if the churches didn't preach against it. Oh, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me, because whatever you preach against is what God brings against you as a witness that you're religious. I was standing in Knoxville, Tennessee. I said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he says he's bringing homosexuals from the north and the east and the south and the west, and they're going to plant up shop, and they're going to put in bars. They're going to put in a whole community here to be a witness against the religious system. Religious, let me tell you, tell your kids don't and see where they end up. It excites the passions of the flesh. It causes you to do that which you don't, is not in your nature to do, because they've been told all your life, you can't do this, you can't do that, or God won't receive you, God won't accept you. I listened to the radio the other day, the guy says on the radio, you know what? What's that new movie, the cartoon movie? It's dumber than that. It's a little bitty book. It used to be a book series. Harry Potter. He said, and a 14-year-old girl. Listen to my generation, our generation. 14-year-old girl calls the brother, nationwide minister. She said, I could care less. I don't agree or disagree with your stand on Harry Potter. But she said, I don't like your spirit, how you're accusing everybody. I don't like the way you're telling everybody that if you watch that movie, the devil's going to get you. And you're going to go to hell. She said, and so he says, well, I think your parents are losers for letting you watch that movie, and the devil's going to get them. They're going to answer to God for watching that movie. The girl said, you know what, I love you, and I'm just trying to conversate with you, but I can see I'm getting nowhere, so I'm just going to hang up now. The issue wasn't the issue. The issue isn't Harry Potter. Religious prejudice. That's what we fight against. And you don't know you have it till you're faced with it. Trust me. You don't know you have religious preferences till you're faced with it. Till you have to be around someone who has another perception than you. Till you have to be around someone that don't look like you, believe like you, talk like you, walk like you. That's the Adam part of us that can only reproduce religious prejudice. And we've been taught all our life things. And God never worried about things. God worries about people. If he worries, you understand what I'm saying? He's concerned about people. So I got to thinking about this. In the essence of the religious prejudice, I may be out there. But I'd rather be out there trying to plow out a new land than to sit in the old land and die. It's a certain death. It's a certain death to stay in the old land. It's a certain death to stay there, because the food's running out. The voice of God is getting slim. You understand what I'm saying? There's a famine coming to the religious system. There's a famine coming to that land. If you stay there, it's going to be tough. I'd rather go plow out a hope and a dream and a future for all mankind. See, God didn't put Joseph to second in king just so he could be second in charge. He got him there so he could serve the king's seed to the rest of God's people, to all mankind. It wasn't just for the Egyptians. Whenever Joseph got there, he said, how, bring my family. Bring all Israel over here. Let them stay in this place. And God preserved the whole world through his man that was not willing to take account for what he did. He allowed God to just keep moving him up. takes willing vessels to realize that what we're doing is not for us. It's for somebody else. This ain't for us. We had our heyday. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to see some things. But it's for the next generation behind us, so they can live in a real world that we all talk about. I just have a couple of thoughts. While we were sleeping, we became religious. Because we ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we fell asleep, and that's all we know is good and evil. Once you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and fall asleep, you don't have access to the tree of life till you wake up and walk to that tree. You got to wake up and walk back to the tree. You can't eat the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat both. You got to eat one or the other. One or the other. One or the other. And I know God has taken this word. He spoke it plainly to us. This is what the form he wants us to be in. An unlimited form. Without definition. I know that's hard on you. But people always want to know what you about. But the Bible says you are a peculiar people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. You're a chosen generation. You're different. You just are. We just are. We just are part of the body of Christ. We're not the body. Come on now. We're not the body. We're part of the body of Christ. We're not just Christ on the earth. We're Christ of the. We're anointed of him. It's his anointing that is within me and within you. It's his. It don't belong to us. You run around talking like you got something. You didn't get nothing. He put it on you. And it belongs to him, and it will go back to him. So get yourself out of the way. That's our problem. Cain killed his brother, and the Lord came to Cain and said, "Where is your brother?" Cain said, "How should I know?" In other words, what do I care? Am I my brother's keeper? Let me tell you, church, the fruit of Adam does not care for his brother. The fruit of Adam cannot genuinely care for his brother. Cannot genuinely keep, guard, protect, put a hedge around his brother. The religious prejudice that is birthed out of Adam destroys community, destroys brotherhood. I don't care how big the church is, if it's Adam preaching, there's nothing but death working there. There's nothing but death working there. I don't care how beautiful the building and how many people are there. If Adam's preaching, he's going to preach a system. He's going to preach a lifestyle of no one caring for one another, and everybody's getting their own, and it's a religious preference. You understand? It's a religious prejudice. That's the seed of the city of Detroit's problem. Religious preferences. Listen, whatever you prefer, one day you'll prejudge. The Bible doesn't it say in preferring not one another. Your preferences, why? He's okay, but he just don't trip my trigger. That, watch out, because those preferences turn into prejudices, religious prejudices. We're full of it. We're full of it, when yet Christ himself would teach us in the kingdom to hear God's voice in everything. Hear him in everything. Try to see him in everything. I mean, you understand, you go to the Baptist church, but I'm, you know, I love the Baptist church, but I'm here to hear God's voice. I'm trying to hear his voice. I know that's the problem in Detroit City. I don't know about the suburbs, but Detroit City has religious issues, preferences, and prejudices. And we cover the whole thing up. Listen to me. We cover the whole thing up. and call it racism and economic differences, which may, listen, it may be, but that ain't the root of the problem. That's the fruit of the tree. You understand what I'm saying? It's religious prejudice. I know it's hard, but I'm sharing this from my heart because I want to see it finally work, finally get tore down, finally get broke down. I know it's going to be hard. I may not ever see it done with these eyes, but I'm ready to put my plow in the ground and plow up this hard ground. I am. Trust me, I am. You understand what I'm saying? I know they've been wronged, and I know there's racism. I know that exists. I live beside a guy that waves a Confederate flag. I know. You understand? The neo-Nazi, the Anglican, American, whatever, whatever. I know all that, but it can't be me, and it can't be you. It can't be me and it can't be you. We've got to be reformed to be a new creation. Say, we can't let our surroundings affect who we are and where we're going and what we're about. That may be who what they are, but that's not who I am. I had a vision, 1997, when the Lord visited me. One night he woke me up in an open-eye vision, and I saw a cave with lepers. And I saw Jesus walking like he was going to walk to the cave. And the Spirit of God asked me, which hurts worse? The leprosy? Or how people treat them because they have leprosy? Which hurts worse? Spirit of God asked me again, which hurts worse? Their leprosy? Or the way people treat them? Because, look, it was the religious system, the religious prejudice that kicked them out of their city and made them live in another city. It was religion that did that.